And hear now the gospel reading from Mark. They came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
It is good to be back in the pulpit after basically being out the last two Sundays for Children's Sabbath and Music Appreciation Sunday. Though I confess a bit of trepidation, mainly because of what one of you said to me the last time I came back after being gone for more than 1 week. "This had better be good." "We'll see," I said, and I guess we will. Seeing is an important theme in today's service, as you know. We've already sung "Be Thou My Vision" and just heard the chancel choir perform an original music score by Michael Cox, "Open Thou My Eyes," the words of which, incidentally, come from Bishop Lancelot Andrews, who translated the 23rd Psalm into the King James Version. I'm full of fun and mostly useless facts. The scripture this morning gives us the story of blind Bartimaeus outside of Jericho. It is an important and very powerful story in the book of Mark. But we first have to do a little Bible study in order to see the important and powerful things it has to say. Now, I recognize that when I say the words Bible and study, some of you get giddy, while others begin to break out in hives. If you are amongst the former, I join you in your giddiness. If you are amongst the latter, then I ask you to give me 15 minutes as I will try to make this worth your while. We'll see. The book of Mark seems like a very simple story. In fact, you can sit down and read it in only about an hour. But though its language is simple and its narrative easy to comprehend, Mark actually uses some quite complex literary devices to tell a very sophisticated tale. One of the literary devices Mark uses is what Bible scholars call an interpolation. You can talk about that at lunch this afternoon. But what I first was introduced as a Markan sandwich. A Markin sandwich is a story Mark tells by layering pieces one on top of another like a sandwich maker layers a sandwich. So you have two similar slices of stories on the outside with something meaty and related in the middle. A Markin sandwich. Some examples. There is the story of the powerful Jairus who pleads with Jesus to come and save his daughter. And on the way, there is Jesus stopped by and healing a poor hemorrhaging woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. And then Jesus going on to heal Jairus' daughter, whom we learn is about 12 years old herself. The stories are meant to be read and understood together. There is the cursing that Jesus casts on the fig tree outside of the city gates of Jerusalem. This is then followed by Jesus' clearing of the money changers within the temple, and then Jesus again passing by the fig tree and his disciples taking note that it has been withered to the root. Or there is Jesus feeding the 5,000 on the Jewish side of the Sea of Galilee and 12 baskets of bread left over, a number corresponding to the 12 tribes of Israel, followed then by Jesus encountering a foreign woman who demands that she too be given the scraps from the table to keep her baby alive. Bookended immediately by Jesus then feeding 4,000 Gentiles on the other side of the lake, where 7 baskets of bread are left over. A number corresponding to the number of nations driven out of the promised land when the Israelites came in. Do you see the complexity, the richness? Mark is not just a sandwich maker. As Subway would say, he's a sandwich artist. And the layered stories are each artfully designed to make a point that is important and powerful, theological and also anthropological. Which brings me to blind Bartimaeus. The story of blind Bartimaeus comes at the end of several interconnected stories, all stacked together in what is the biggest double or triple or quadruple or whatever comes next, oople Markin sandwich in the gospel. It begins with the healing of another blind man in a village called Bethsaida, the hometown of several of the disciples. Then follows several stories of the disciples in conflict and in tension with Jesus. These are the stories on the road to Jerusalem. The disciples totally missing whatever it is that Jesus is saying, and sort of ending up looking like, well, the Keystone Cops walking blindly on the way to the crucifixion. There is Jesus' conflict with Peter about suffering and cross. Right after, there is the story of the transfiguration on the mountain where God basically says to Peter, hey, zip it and listen. Back down the mountain, there is the scene where the disciples cannot heal the deaf, mute boy, a child who, like Peter, neither knows how to speak nor how to listen. Then there is an argument amongst the disciples about which one of them is the greatest, followed by the disciples then embarrassingly sending children away from Jesus, followed by, finally, what we read last week, a request from the two disciples, from two of the disciples, in which they say to Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Jesus asked them, well, what do you want me to do for you? And they respond by saying they want to sit one on the right hand and one on the left when Jesus comes into his glory. All of these stories stacked one on top of another, finally, then ultimately concluding with this final piece of bread, the story of blind Bartimaeus, whom Jesus asks the very same question he asked the two disciples earlier in the same chapter. What do you want me to do for you? Do you see the point? This is profound literature. It is good storytelling. The two blind men are representative persons. And what they represent is, well, is us, the disciples. We disciples, in all of our inability to see what Jesus has to say about cross and discipleship and greatness and service and listening and speaking. The disciples, Mark is saying, are blind, while the blind men see. And so the same point is made in the book of Mark that is also made in the book of John, where after he rejects the religious establishment's notion that a man was born blind because he was a sinner, Jesus heals him and says, I have come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. So the question for us this morning then is, do we see? Or are we blind? Or do we need to be blind in order that we might see? And now rightly? Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And along the way, he is teaching. Those who would be first must be last. Those who would wish to be great must become like servants. Those who would willingly want to gain must first learn how to lose. And those who would be with him when he comes into his glory must be willing to do so on a gibbet. And the sinners will be saved, while the smug and the self-righteous cry, "Crucify him." The story, not only the Mark and sandwich, but really all of God's gospel, invites us to see the world in a whole new way. And in that, it compels us to see ourselves in a whole new way also. A more honest way. And that takes guts. It takes a lot of guts to say what blind Bartimaeus said, "Lord, let me see," and really, really mean it, even if the light of the ugly truth about ourselves blinds us. That's what blind Bartimaeus does. He blinds us with what he sees about us, and he blinds us for good. In the old classic movie, Places in the Heart, John Malkovich made his mark playing a blind man named Mr. Will, who sees through all the so-called good Christian community's selfishness and bigotry and all of the other sins of white Texans in and around Waxahachie during the Dust Bowl. In a very dramatic scene near the end of the film, the KKK comes for a black workman played by Danny Glover, whose only crime is being too good a hand on a farm that is wanted by the bank. But as witness to the would-be lynching, Mr. Will recognizes all of the voices of the men behind the white sheets, and he outs them for who it is that they are. This is the glimpse that the blind beggar gives in the book of Mark. He unmasks the disciples. He unmasks us, and he forces us to see ourselves for who it is that we really are in all of our pride and ambition and greed and hypocrisies, even as so-called good Christian people. Old blind Bartimaeus makes us take a look at ourselves. And he opens our eyes to see the selfishness and the sin. And once we see them, if we're willing to see them, then we too can see our own need for a Savior and pray what Bartimaeus prayed. "Jesus, have mercy on me." That's what Bartimaeus will do for us if we're willing to take a look. Usually on a Sunday, when we talk about a blind man in the scripture, in addition to "Be Thou My Vision," we'll also often sing something by Fanny Crosby. When I was a child in church, I always giggled when I saw the name Fanny Crosby printed in the order of service. You got to make church interesting when you can. For those who don't know, Fanny Crosby was blind, yet she wrote more than 8,000 hymns and gospel songs, including praise him, to God be the glory, and blessed assurance. I read once that Fanny Crosby thanked God for her blindness and said something that was, in fact, the exact opposite of what blind Bartimaeus says in today's story. She said this: if perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept it. For I might not have sung the hymns to praise God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and the interesting things about myself. I cannot imagine not wishing to be able to see. But then again, maybe that's exactly what Jesus meant when he said somewhere in that Markan sandwich that it is better to enter into life blind than it is to have two eyes and miss its meaning altogether. The meaning of life is to serve. It is to give. It is to humble ourselves and follow. And if we can't see that, if our ambition and pride and prejudice and egos and even our good Christian religiosity blind us to the truth of who we are or who our neighbors are, then it's time maybe for us to pray today what the blind beggar prayed, that we might learn again to see and to see rightly. Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his cross my trust shall be, till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face, my Lord, I see. These are Fanny Crosby's words, and I couldn't say or sing or see them any better myself. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said,